Thanks, man. Do I have permission from the sound guy to move this out of my throat? Is it okay? There we go. Okay. Well, good morning. I'm really thankful you decided to come anyway when you heard who was speaking. You know, you're like, Chris Brown, what? See, I have more jokes. There's plenty. There's, don't worry about it. I don't know, first thing I walked in, I met Doug, and Doug is like, so you're from Ohio, huh? I think he was going to throw me out. I don't know if you guys are welcome to Ohio, people from Ohio or not, but hey, go on your basketball team, right? I mean, you guys went off. That was great. I got to watch some of that, and my boys are really getting into that. My family, we live in Cleveland. Do not hold that against me. I ended up there by God's will, not mine, okay? I am not from Ohio. I don't know how the Lord ended up put us there, but we've been there the past almost eight years now, and I have a family, my wife, and I've been married 22 years, coming on this May, and then, 22, I better get that right, some of the ladies are like, you better get that right, you know? And then I have four kids. I have an older daughter. Her name is Kara. She's in college at Clark Summit University right now. Used to be called Baptist Bible College, where I went to school. She's there doing elementary education. And yesterday or the day before was her 3-month anniversary with her boyfriend. Now you have to understand, being the first kid. First daughter for everything, and you know, I've been thankful I've fought it off this long. She's 20, and this is her first boyfriend, but this guy I like. So we're really trying to keep this one around. So we're looking for, he's a good kid. He's in the youth ministry, pastoral ministries program. I'm excited to see what God's going to do. He's an encourager to me and to my daughter, and so I'm thankful for he's in her life. I have a daughter who's graduating from high school. This year, she's a senior. She is captain of every sport, and she's the homecoming queen this year, and I could go on about how amazing God put her into my life, and she's a great blessing to me. It has nothing to do with myself or my wife. God did all that with her life, and we're looking to see maybe God will use her in missions and sports. She'll graduate with 12 varsity letters this coming year. Now, I take advantage. We go to a small Christian school. Okay, so like she's in everything, okay? There's no cuts, you get to play, okay? So I get that, but there's just a joy to have. So I have two older girls, and then I have two younger boys, and 7th grade and 4th grade. So it's a privilege to have a family and to have kids to do that. I have a ministry that I get to help churches and missionaries and ministries around the world with technology. We live in an age that technology has just, I call it a tsunami of technology. It has just overcome us with, and the fast. I can remember growing up having to go to the library to look up information. You know those index cards you have to pull out, the drawers of index cards you have to look up. Yeah, kids don't have to do that anymore. They all have to do is hold up the phone and be like, "Siri," you know, or "Hey Google," you know. In your living room, you can ask Google what a whale sounds like. Like you don't know what a whale sounds like, really? Sorry, another one of my problems with technology in our world and what it has created. But I get to do this full time. I get to help missionaries and missions and churches around the world use technology. We'll share more about that tonight as we get into our seminar. But tonight's going to be a shock as well as some good tools and resources to talk about how to protect ourselves with this technology. Now I'm also going to share with you this morning. I'm calling it a Christian's perspective on social media. Social media has really kind of taken our culture by storm, and it really has become almost a necessity, unlike instead of a desire or want to. We almost feel like we have to anymore instead of we want to. So we're going to talk about that, and I've named this Insta for a reason. One of the top two most social networks that are out there is Instagram. Owned by Facebook. So imagine that. The top two are owned by the same company, same guy. And as well as the top search engines, we would say, oh, what's the top search engine? Say Google. What's the second top search engine? It would be YouTube. And they're both owned by Google. So you think about that and you think about, okay, we have the leading social network, the top two there, the top two search engines, they're owned, and they control a majority of everything that we do online. And so you have this control over the major areas that we do over boils down to basically two people, the owners of these two companies, as you think about it. And it, they control a lot of what happens. So we need to think about how we are going to respond. As a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we're going to see how do we handle this area of technology. And I've entitled it really, instead of calling it Insta, I call it like, we liked to be liked. And this has not just started this since social media has come about. We have the little, somebody give you a thumbs up on your photo. Yay, you get your adrenaline starts rushing. Somebody liked what I posted, you know. This has happened since the beginning of time. We have liked to be liked. We have wanted approval from other people. We have looked for approval from others since the day we were born. As a kid, we looked to our moms and dads to give us approval. You know, and when we cry, that's why we cried, because they came running. You know, we would cry, they'd come running, so we'd cry again. So young moms, when they cry, it's okay. Let them cry a little bit, you know. I remember firstborn daughter in the crib, first night, not in our room, you know, in the bedroom, and she's crying. I'm like, well, she's crying. My wife's like, just let her cry. She's all right. There's nothing in there that's going to hurt her. Let her cry. She did that for a couple nights and stopped after that. I'm like, yes, sleep. You forgot how awesome sleep was when you had a little kid. So we look for approval, even as a baby. We look for approval from others. We try to find or validate ourselves of who we are from others, right? We try to get instant gratification, and that really comes about a lot within social media. There's a verse in John 12:43, and I think I have it on the screen. I didn't bring it up in front of me, but well, I'm getting old, or that's really small font right there. I'm going to turn around right there. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God, right? Does this not demonstrate our culture, our people, us? We tend to look to others for glory instead of looking to God for glory. And we tend to fulfill the things that are in us that seek the approval from God. We look to others to fulfill that. And really, social media has poured gasoline on this and just lit it up. We've looked and started looking for other people. So talking about social media, social media has just basically amplified this. The average person spends 2.5 hours a day on social media. 2.5 hours a day, we are either on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, any one of these social media interactions, as well as text and messaging, WhatsApp, that kind of stuff. The average person with a smartphone spends 4 hours a day looking at their smartphone. That's 25% of your awake time. Now, some of you might lay in bed at night looking, you know, that doesn't count. You're not sleeping technically, so you're still awake. Your awake time, 25% of roughly your awake time you're spending looking at a smartphone. Now, I know, I'm sure somebody will come up to me afterward tonight and be like, and that's why I don't have a smartphone. That's why I have a flip phone. Preach it, right? I know. You're going to be like, I'd be like, preach it. No, okay. You have to understand, when I say average, okay, that's including everybody. So take the people who have flip phones. Sir, raise your hand. Thank you. Okay. Now, those of you who have smartphones, raise your hand. Okay. Across the entire globe, 4 hours, we're still looking at it, comparing to the people who do not. Think about it. We spend a lot of time looking at our phones. It has become our center. Matter of fact, within the software, within the phones and the different apps and that kind of stuff, they can tell how long you go between looking at your phones. We cannot go more than 4 minutes without looking at our phones. Why do you think they came up with the Apple Watch, right, or the Android watches? Because, I don't put my phone out as much. Right, because you're just looking at your wrist. It's the same thing, okay? We have this addiction to technology. Or some might say we have a fear of missing something. We have a fear of missing out. I might miss something. You know, there's a lot of goodness to missing something once in a while. There's a lot of time. There's a lot of good stuff about putting it away, and just. So that's kind of what I want to look at today. And as I was studying this and reading through Scripture, I came across Ephesians 5, and I kind of looked at this, and it really, we're going to kind of dive through Ephesians 5, And I want to pull that quote up I had up there. Social media is not going away. And I want to prove out something. Social media is a really good tool. We're going to talk about that. But it's just used very poorly. Okay? Social media is a phenomenal tool that I believe God has allowed to put in our hands right now. You know, you wonder, you know, you've ever read through the end times, you've ever, you know, understand the future events and that kind of stuff. And you look at, and how is it capable that the whole world is going to be able to hear of this, obviously, within seconds, we hear of events that happen around the world. People are there, they're putting videos up, they're sharing it, they go viral, it's easy to see what's going on. Social media is a very powerful tool that I'm thankful that God has put in our laps. We just don't use it well. And I want to give us some perspective on that this morning. So how do we do this? Because there are 2.2 billion people actively using even just Facebook right now, monthly. 2.2 billion people are using it actively. We need to figure out how to use this effectively. So Ephesians 5, go ahead and turn there. We're going to look. This is not an exposition of Ephesians 5, okay? We are not going to go and dive through everything about it, and we're not going to get every last thing out of Ephesians 5. We're going to just like skip the top of the waves and pull out the things that fit real well with the idea of technology and our culture and social media and our culture. And I as I was reading through this passage, honestly, some big words stuck out at me, and I as I was looking at these words, I wrote them down, and they spelled out Insta. No joke, okay? Except for one, and I had to tweak it, but you'll see. That's what preachers do, right? We kind of fit in how we want. No. Insta, right? Instagram, Insta good, Insta love, Insta all these, the Insta. And in reality, that's kind of what we have become. We've become like an Insta culture. How fast can I get my shipment to my house? Okay? No, I don't want to drive to Walmart. I want it just delivered. Yes. Guilty, okay? Okay. We're very Insta. We're very instant gratification. So as I started looking at this, I'm like, wow, this really fits. So we're going to pull out some great principles here from Ephesians 5. So turn there with me, and we're going to look at it. And I want to, before we get into 5, you got to look back at verse chapter 4 a little bit. Look back at verse 17 of chapter 4 as we're leading up into this chapter 5 and how we're supposed to live. Specifically, he goes back into 17. He says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you may no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." And I'm going to assume, and you know, that's not always a good thing to do, but the majority of you here this morning are genuine followers of Jesus Christ, and you've chosen to come and be a part of a service and be here at a church and fellowship and a community together, okay? I'm going to assume that kind of stuff. And kind of looking here, formerly, he says, no longer walking as the Gentiles do. No longer walking as an unbeliever. He's challenging you to say, hey, don't be like the unbeliever. Don't be like you used to be. You have a new way. You have a new life. You've been given new hope. Now let's live it. And he gives some specific things here in chapter 5. So the first one I'm going to point out in the Insta acrostic here is verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The idea here is to imitate, to be an imitator of God. Now, this honestly, reality fits right in with social media, because what happens a lot of times on social media is that we imitate others. We see what others are doing. We follow. Okay, that's like the thing in social media. Hey, who are you following? Did they follow me back? I follow them. Did they follow me back? You know, we get followers. We're trying to get this like following of people who want to see what we're doing, or we feel like they want to see what we're doing. In reality, they just want to know what I had for lunch, really, is what they want to know, and where I'm at. And you know, so sometimes my wife will look at my, when I'm out with pastors or out different things, she'll see what I had for lunch. So she knows not what to make for dinner. You know, sometimes, you know, she's actually told me that before. She, well, I saw you had hamburgers with, you know, a pastor this day, so we didn't have hamburgers for dinner that night, you know, kind of thing. I'm like, well, that's good, but I love hamburgers, so anytime you can have hamburgers twice. But we really are. We choose to follow, or to imitate means to copy, duplicate, to know, or to follow. We imitate a lot of things. We imitate a lot of things in our lives, but what it's saying here is be an imitator of God. And then he demonstrates that in the next verse, verse 2. He says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. The idea of being a person who's going to use social media for God's glory is, and if a Christian perspective on this, is this somebody who's going to be an imitator of God. And he demonstrated that through Christ. And he said, who gave himself up. Now, this is going to this might be hard. And I had a great conversation with a guy yesterday. I don't know how this happened, but I got roped into being the assistant softball coach now with my daughter. You know, the other coach resigned, and my daughter was like, "We need help." I'm like, "Oh, I love my daughter, so I'll go help." So I'm now the assistant. I've been assistant volleyball coach. I've been assistant basketball coach. I've been assistant softball, and I'm not good at any of these things, right? But I'm a body, right? So, you know, I'm helping out. We had a good talk on the way home with the coach on the bus. He's a believer. He says, "I just find it so hard with social media to you know, how much do I share about my views on politics? How much do I share about, you know, this? And I've got all these beliefs and that kind of stuff, and I want to take a stand and being a patriot and for our country." I'm like, "Amen. Patriotism, you know, stand for what you believe." And I said, but really, what are we supposed to be doing?" He said, "We're supposed to be imitating God. And God, Christ came and he gave himself up." Sometimes you have to give up on getting your point across. Sometimes you got to give up on, if the government's listening right now, I am a patriot, okay, that kind of thing. Sometimes you got to give up on making sure that, you know, that person, you know, I'm going to send out this message that everybody better stand when the national anthem, everybody, see what I mean? They're going to be like, "He's not a patriot. He doesn't even know what that's called. They better stand when the national anthem's." Just trust me, I get it, okay? But really, what is our point? We're not here to promote USA, right? We're here to promote Jesus Christ. So sometimes I got to put some of that aside, and I got to be like Christ. I got to give up. Sometimes I got to figure out what's more important. If I was to have access to any one of your social media accounts and I could look through it, you know, that would really tell me a lot about yourself. I used to say this to teenagers when I was a kid. I used to say, not a kid. Well, I was a kid. It felt like Pastor Jordan here. No offense to me. Okay? But I'm a little older now. But you know, I used to say to the teenagers, like, "Hey, I bet you if I spent 10 minutes in your room, I could learn a lot about you. If I could spend 10 minutes on your social media profile, I could learn a lot about you." Okay? You imitate. You demonstrate. You do a lot of things on social media and that kind of stuff. And you can learn a lot about who you are based upon what you do on social media. So, be imitators of God as he gave himself up for us, which that means to demonstrate love on social media. It means sometimes we don't get to promote all those causes we want, or, you know, promote social justice or patriotism or get your rights being heard. Care more about the things that God cares about than the things that we care about, right? Care about what does he care about? He cares about lost people. He cares about people coming to know his son, Jesus Christ. And that's it. I mean, boil it down, right? I mean, really, he wants people to come back to him. And I think we've got a tool that we can really take advantage of. I was studying for this and reading different things. I like to read a lot. And so I came across this quote that we only talk about the things we know about. The things that you talk about, the things that you're downstairs with all those awesome snacks that you had this morning. Thank you. That was good. It gave me a little perk. As you can tell, I'm jazzed up here. I might crash later, but that's all right. As you're down there talking, that kind of stuff, what do you talk about? Do you talk about the Michigan basketball game? No, because you lost. I get that. No offense. Or are you talking about this? Or are you talking about that? You know, what do you talk about? You talk about the things you know about. How many of you this week have shared with somebody else something that you read from God's Word this week? Said, "You know what? I read this week." Now, remember I was telling you about my daughter's boyfriend? He texted me yesterday. He goes, "Mr. Brown," that's what he calls me, "Mr. Brown." I'm like, "That's good. We'll start there. That's good, respectful. Mr. Brown, I read this verse this week, and I just wanted to share it with you." Something he read about, and he wanted to share with me, because we're in a discussion about different things, and he wanted to share with me. Really, really was encouraged by that. You know, so there's a balance, right? So, okay, how do we do this? We've got this great platform of this social media platform and be an imitator of God. Do we just, all we do is just take God's word and just start thumping people with it, or in a sense, on social media? No, I want to give you, I've got this little principle I call the 30-70 principle. It's nothing profound. You don't have to write it down. It's just mental to think about that 30% of the time and 70% of the time we're on social media, a Christian's perspective on using social media. 70% of the time, just be you and have fun and enjoy life and use it to just let people see that you're a real person. Show the lunch you eat. People like to see. That's okay. You know, show pictures of your kids if you're into that. You know, just be just a normal person for 70% of the time. Some of you, that's going to be a little more difficult. I get that, okay? But be a normal person that does just uses it for what it's intended to be 70% of the time. 30% of the other time, use it to be very pointed and very purposeful on pointing out and directing things back to God's word, God's agenda, using your story to tell his story. 70-30. Don't do 100%. All you do is ever just thump them with God's word. These are the 45 chapters I read today. I want to share all of them. Okay? That is not going to encourage anybody. Okay? That's not going to be, oh, he's so spiritual. Okay? No. 70-30. The idea of, you know, doing this in love. That's the kind of idea. So that's being an imitator of God. You just follow his example. His example was that he came and he gave up for us. And that's what we're going to have to do, is be imitators of God. So that's the first one, I and Insta, imitators of God. Second one is N. Okay, look at goes down a little further in verse 4. Again, this is not expository. We are not pulling out every point because we'd be here all day. So there, verse 4. Let there be no filthiness or foul talk, nor crude jokes, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. I don't know how many times I try to develop my connections using social media. I don't even know how many friends on either platform or different platforms I'm on or what have. But I don't know how many times I'm following people and I see things that they've posted. And I'm like, there is no way that a follower of Jesus Christ should post that. It's a dirty joke. It's a funny thingy that just relates to something else and that kind of stuff. I'm like, there is no way. Obviously, it points out that kind of stuff. And he points it out here. He says, let there be no filthiness or no foolish talk. So the end here is no foolish talk. It's out of place. It's an out of place thing. This should be something that we shouldn't be even a part of. And honestly, and I don't just mean like filthiness, filthy type, but foolish talk or crude joking. In 2016, in Cleveland, there were 3 girls that committed suicide because of some anonymous comments that were made on their anonymous accounts that they purposely went to these sites, a couple different ones, Sahara's one, Ask FM, there's a bunch of these different, even mobile apps, we'll even talk about them some tonight, the different ways of getting anonymous feedback from people. You have no idea who they are. And in 2016, in Cleveland, there were 3 girls that committed suicide because of the comments. And 2 of them left notes to their parents saying, this is why I'm doing this. Words hurt. And so foolish talk, cruel jokes, we might be like, oh, it's funny. Huh? It's not funny, because you know what we forget? We forget that every person on the end of that other social media profile is a real person. They're a real person that you're talking to or talking about. There's even tech terms that, in texting terms, that you can say how we're referring to somebody without saying who they are, and the other person knows who it is, and you can even be talking about somebody not even in front of them. And I think that fits in here. It says, no foolish talk, no filthiness, no crude jokes, for it is out of place. This is not what is intended for us as believers. Don't live like the Gentiles. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen somebody post something that's, you know, relatively funny. You know, this picture with words, and it's funny. And then it has a link to, it goes to back to another website, and you click on it, and it takes you to another website. I've done this several times by something, and I've clicked on it, gone to another website, and it's populated the funny thing, and then down the whole side next to it is things that are not funny and are not things you should be seeing, things you need to protect yourself from, but you're not being protected because you clicked on it because Aunt Mabel shared something that was funny that she saw, and you thought, oh, it's funny, and you click on it, and then all this crud just comes in front of you, okay? Be careful of what you share and how you do it. And we're trying to say, hey, no filthy talk. No foolish talk. It's out of place. It's out of place. Ephesians 4, really, really simple there. Foolish talk just degrades people. It just confuses people. When you start sharing foolish stuff, you're diverting them away from the truth. They're not going to see the truth if you're sharing foolish things all the time. You share something that's foolish or filthy, then you share something that's clean. What are they gonna think? They're gonna think, oh, it's the same as the other. Either one is of value. If somebody gets degraded by something, or somebody is offended by something, or somebody clicks on something you shared and they see something they shouldn't, The next time you share something, hey, go watch this, they're not going to watch it. They don't trust you anymore. They don't want to be degraded. It's distracting. It's confusing. Talk about stuff that's not important, right? You press your opinion in, right? You share a funny post or you share fake news, right? That's the big thing, fake news, right? The idea of we just click, oh, share. Everybody needs to know that if this person comes into your messenger, you don't let them be your friend, okay? Okay, check it out. There are ways to back check these things that you're about to share, okay? There are sites that have, you can check and make sure that the news that you want to share is real. I don't know how many times I've seen somebody share something and then like four things later, oh, sorry, that was not real, my bad, you know, kind of thing. It's not a good testimony. I think it's something that we need to be careful of, and we have to be careful about what we use and how we talk. And from the beginning of time, Lucifer has been trying to deceive us and to distract us, right? To distract us from the truth. Do not let your things that you're doing on social media and our culture distract another person from coming to know Christ, or coming to know the truth. That's why he says, no foolish talk, no filthiness, no crude jokes. I know it's like the biggest rivalry in the United States of America, Ohio, Michigan. You would agree with me, right? I mean, I don't think there's any other two states that would literally kill each other over titles or something like that. Trust me, I live in Ohio. I hear the hate, okay? They hate you, I'm just saying, okay? I get it. I live there, okay? My pastor's from Michigan, and he feels the pressure, and he asks for a raise, and they won't give it to him, you know, kind of thing. You know, and I get that. No, but are we really going to be like, that's more important than making sure that my friend who's in Michigan or Ohio doesn't hear the gospel? Or are we really going to spend our time rivaling over somebody else on social media or any kind of that? No, it's just, it's wasted talk. It's wasted talk that will distract us. Let's keep going. Look at verse 7. The first one was being imitator of God. Second one is being no filthy talk, no foolish talk. The next one is our Savior. Look at verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are in the light. You are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the one where I twisted it just a little bit, okay? But it's there, okay? Being a child of light, being a child of Christ, being a follower and child of Christ. We are the light, it says here, the light of the Lord. You are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I think you have an awesome opportunity to make sure that other people see the Savior, see Jesus. They need to see the Savior. They need to be saved. They need to be rescued. They have no idea they need to be rescued. Those people who post that crud stuff on social media, they need a Savior, just like you needed a Savior. I was 10 years old. I don't even remember what kind of camp it was. It was a Bible camp somewhere up in the upper state, New York. And a guy presented this message I had never really fully understood, and he used a flow chart. It was like high tech back then, whiteboard and a marker and a flow chart, okay? And he started off with me, and then he drew an arrow and asked me a question, and I took an arrow, and yes or no, and I went this way, and I followed him all the way around, and I realized my path led me to hell. I'm like, that's not good. Let me backtrack. Where did I go wrong? What did I do? Okay, did that. I had never really seen my need for Christ. And so that night I went forward and I prayed and I asked the Lord to save me from my sin. Okay, high tech, whiteboard and marker. God, he doesn't need technology. He gets to use it. Okay, but that's what we need to do. We need to help people see the Savior. And technology right now, you literally have the ability to reach 2.2 billion people that you can start reaching out to using social media. If done in the right way, you will reap the benefits and encourage and disciple others and see it. So people need to see the Savior. That's kind of the idea here. We need people to see Jesus, not see morality. Do you see the difference? We don't want people just to be good. We don't want to make good people. We want to make dead people become alive, right? We don't want to just good people become good. We want them to be dead and then come alive in Christ, okay? We don't want to just create moral people. There's plenty of other people helping people to be good. Okay, we're beyond that. We're like the step above that where real change happens, real things happen. That's in the heart. We want them to see Jesus, not just religion. You know, don't just like, you know, promote about being religious. That's a man made attempt at reaching God. You know, we want people to see Jesus, not just random acts of kindness. That we, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't do them or don't talk about them, but make sure that Christ is the reason and people see it. Maybe make sure Christ is the reason you do it, you know? I don't know how many times I'll be at Aldi. You guys have Aldi around, you know, with the little shopper carts in the quarter, you know? For some reason, my wife, I'm driving somewhere, she says, hey, stop at Aldi. I'm like, yeah, I feel good about myself. Stop at Aldi and go in there, get the things I need. I have the cart. I unload the cart. I'm walking back. I'm like, oh, that lady needs a cart. I'm going to give her a cart. I'm going to do a random act of kindness. I walk over there. I'm like, there you go, ma'am. You can have the cart. And then she offers me her quarter, and I'm like, do I take the quarter? Do I not? Do that? You know, part of me is like, well, what am I doing this for, right? And honestly, truth, I have never said, in Jesus' name, here's your cart, okay? I've never done that, okay? You know, don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is we have to think that we got to make sure that we're doing what we're doing. It's for Christ, and so, but please, be nice, obviously. Do good things, guys. But the point is, even with social media, we have to make sure that we're doing it for the right reason, for Christ to be known. Don't just do random acts of kindness or even online for that kind of stuff. Make sure that people see Jesus, not just, you know, we're trying to promote peace on earth kind of thing. You know, we're promoting Christ. Make sure the Savior is seen in what you do. Again, we're not trying to thump him with it. We're not trying to convict him with it all in a sense, all at once. We're not trying to beat him up over it. You know, everywhere you see stuff, like, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Everybody, you need, you know, don't slow down. Use it effectively. Think how you can use it effectively. But that's, I would have to say, effectively using social media in a Christian perspective is to be an imitator of God and how he demonstrated that. No foolish talk, and make sure people see the Savior in what you do. There's a reason you do what you do. Well, there should be. Look at verse 13 and 14. It kind of goes along with this a little bit. And talks about even the fruit. That's kind of like the fruit of what you're talking about. Verse 9, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right. When you do good things, there will be questions that are asked. Why did you do that? The good fruit that you produce will be questioned by people who don't do it. And so that's when you have the opportunity many times to discuss this. But look a little further down at 13. But when anything is exposed by the light, it has become visible. For anything becomes visible as light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I don't know if you've ever seen on social media and that kind of stuff, somebody who has just done something that was totally wrong. Or, and that's another thing I talk about in our message, in our seminar, especially with teenagers, thinking there are cameras everywhere. And you are connected with people who are connected to you. And they can take a picture of whatever you're doing, and they can make it whatever they want it to be, and they can post it without you even knowing about it and being up there, and people can see what you're doing, and you don't even know it. So there's what you got to be careful on that kind of stuff as well when it comes to this area. But you've probably seen somebody post something and you're like, ooh, probably shouldn't have posted that, or shouldn't be doing that. Or somebody posted something of somebody else and they don't know about it. And you're like, ooh, you've seen something in somebody's life that might need to be confronted, right? The light, when you shine the light on something, it exposes darkness or exposes sin. So how do we handle that? How do we handle the idea of using social media, letting others see Christ in this and expose something and talk to somebody about an issue that they have? Do not do it boldly, openly, and in front of everybody on the social media platforms. Do not just blast them right in front of everything on the photo that they were tagged in and say, I'm telling grandma, okay? That's not what I mean, okay? Do not, or repent, you sinner, okay? Or whatever. You know, there's a place. There is a place, even with all of these social media platforms, there is a way. Unless you're physically connected to that person, and honestly, most of the people I'm connected with on social media are not within a, you know, 20, 30 minute radius of where I live. I have some, you know, quite obviously with school and kids and my church and that kind of stuff, but I say a majority, I probably say 90% of the people that I'm connected with on social media are not around me. So responding to things that you see that maybe you want to confront something, you're convicted about something a friend or somebody you know did and you want to confront them about that, you need to. If you've been convicted or have been, in a sense, like the Holy Spirit has convicted you to say something to encourage another person or to share the gospel with somebody using social media, there are things called private messaging. Do it privately. Share that with them so that they can understand and they can grow from it, using these kind of things to grow. And during all of that, share your story that has become like that, but this is his story. Don't blast somebody and be like, oh, you're so bad. Be like, oh man, I get you. I get why you did this. Let me tell you about my story. Let me tell you what God did with me through this. Let me share that with you. Use your story in victory over sin. Be real. Be real. This world just wants real people. They're so sick of fake people. They want to be connected to real people. Be connected. Be real. So, imitators of God, no filthy talk. Show the Savior. Let the Savior be seen. The next one, verse 16. Let's jump down there. This is huge. And I'm so thankful this all is part of this passage. I praise the Lord. When I found this whole passage and all these things in there, I was like, God, this is perfect. How did you know we needed this? Because he knows, right? I mean, I don't know if necessarily he thought, I should write Ephesians 5 because someday they're going to have this social media stuff and they're going to need to know how to live and how to walk. No, these things are principle through time, but it really fits what we're doing with social media. The first one, Ephesians, here number 4, the fourth one is time. Ephesians 5:16. Like I talked about before, we'll talk about it. He says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I'm gonna share about a moment that I had in Michigan, okay? At a church in Michigan, sharing my internet protection seminar like I'm going to do tonight. Similar, it was a couple years ago, so it's been revamped, that kind of stuff. I come out of the auditorium, I'm greeting people, thinking like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Behind me is this lady. That was the biggest waste of 20 minutes of my life. I'm like, okay, first of all, it was an hour long, so she must have slept through most of it. Fine, I get good for her. She got a 40-minute nap, okay? And then coming to find out, she's not on internet. I get that kind of stuff, you know. The amount of idea of the amount of time and with these evil days, honestly, there are people who are going to be on social media, and there are people who are not going to be. And you don't have to be. This is not what I'm saying is, I don't want you to think that I'm encouraging you to go home and sign up to be on social media and be on there because it's a good tool. Okay, just while he said it was a good tool for me to reach people, I'm not saying do that. The most socially active people I've ever seen on social network within a church family was my church back in New York. I think every person in that church was on social media, and they were all connected to each other, and they all like they just lived in community together, and it was really effective use of it for them. Worked really well. I am not saying by any means go home and do that kind of stuff. Matter of fact, like it says, we live in evil days, right? And it has been accelerated by this idea of social media and what is happening, what we're seeing. I get that. It is a good tool used very poorly. And that's what I'm saying. But the reason why I say all that is because of the idea of the time that is spent, as well as that, like it says, make the best use of the time because the days are evil. The amount of time that is spent on all of this stuff, right? Time is a gift. You can. It's like you've been given every day. You've been given 24 hours, and you decide how to use it. What are you going to spend it on? How are you going to spend it? You only get so much, right? We are eternal beings. Somebody explained it to me once, and I really liked the way they explained it to me. They said, "Your life is like the entire United States of America, okay? The entire from coast to coast. Now, if you've ever been to California on the coast or to the East Coast, if you've ever been across the United States, disclaimer." Before I went to sixth grade, I went to 13 different schools, okay? 13 different schools. I would enroll in and then move and go somewhere else. Only child, we moved around a lot. My dad just kept drifting, okay? We kept moving around. I've lived all the way up into the state of Oregon and Nevada and California and Florida and New Hampshire, and I've lived all over. I was born in Illinois. It was crazy, okay? But as I see the whole large United States, which is really, I've driven across it several times, that kind of stuff, takes a long time. Your life is like the entire coast, the entire distance of the United States of America. Your life. But your time on earth is like 1 inch on the coast of California. Your time on earth that some of you are like, man, I am old and it has been long and it has been hard. That's 1 inch on the continent of the United States of America because we are eternal beings. We're here for a short amount of time. Some of you are like, short amount of time. I feel like this is never going to end. Okay. For me, it's like, it's just going faster. As I get older, things are just like, my daughter has a boyfriend and he's like, I'd like to date your daughter. And I'm like, he sat me down and he asked me to meet with me and he wants to date my daughter. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And he's like, I just just want to date her. I'm like, okay, good. I haven't had that conversation yet. You know, I'm not ready for that. You know, but it's just accelerating as I think about how fast time is going. But that's 1 inch. We're eternal beings. Our time right now matters. So the time we've been given matters. And we just have to think, the average person or the average teenager spends in front of a screen, 9 hours in front of a screen every day. Whether it's a television screen, a computer screen, a laptop, or a cell phone, 9 hours a day. Millennials, you know, yes, raise your hand if you know who you are. No, don't. You know, if you're a millennial, you know, in that age, that group, you consume media for 18 hours a day. It's just the bracket, the study that they've done on the different millennial age groups is that they're consuming all sorts of media throughout the day. I mean, it's multiple layers on multiple things throughout the day. They just consume a lot of technology and media, that kind of stuff. 2.5 hours a day on social media. But yet, the average Christian teenager, and I pick on teenagers because I'm a youth pastor and I've been in teen ministry forever and I love it. The average Christian teenager only reads his Bible. 3% of Christian teenagers read their Bible every day. Our time. What are we spending our time on? What are we doing with our time? It's a gift. And that's why this is so important, that if we're going to think about a Christian's perspective on social media, it's how much time are we spending on there. Now, there are some great tools that can be put in place that can see. Matter of fact, several months ago, or actually probably about a year ago, we were using some of these tools for my younger daughter. And one of the programs we were using could tell us how much time she spent on her phone on social media in a week. And I showed it to her. She had spent 20 hours 1 week on social media on her phone. And I confronted her with that. And I said, well, first of all, this is going to stop right away. We're going to stop a lot of this. We talked about that. I'm like, that's 1 day, pretty much, of your 7 days that you've looked into your screen on to social media. What is it? And what are you doing when you're looking on those different platforms? You're looking at somebody else's and what they're doing, and a lot of times you're, for lack of a better word, you're coveting somebody else's what they're doing, or you're learning about what they're doing. You're filling your brain with other things that are, now, don't get me wrong, I post scripture, I share stuff. I mean, that it is out there. You can get great inspirational content, and you can dwell on those, and don't get me wrong, there is good use of that. But when we start consuming the amount of time, like I said, 4 hours a day looking into our phones, that's time you're not getting back. That's time you're not outside throwing the ball with your son. I was very convicted about the other day. I'm checking something out, and my wife's like, your son's outside, like you said 5 minutes ago, ready to catch the ball with you, like you said. And I'm still, fail, right? Dad, fail. So maybe you've heard of Netflix. It's one of the top leading video streaming companies on the internet. They did a survey. They asked Netflix. They said, "Hey, so what is your biggest competition? Is Amazon your competition? This kind of stuff." And they said, "Nah, they're like one of the top leading streaming video." They said, "Our biggest competitor is sleep." Netflix came up and they said, "Our biggest competitor is what we're trying to do is get people to sleep less, to watch more." Binge more, watch more at once, getting them excited about coming back and seeing and binging and watching. They said, "Yeah, there's no competition. We're it. And that's what they were saying. So our biggest competition is people sleeping." And I'm like, "Wow. You know, we need sleep. I feel it. I turn into a pumpkin at like 10 o'clock at night. It's like ridiculous. I used to be able to stay up later, but I can't anymore." But you start thinking about how much time is spent on the internet and social media and that kind of stuff. Well, he says, hey, if you want to have a good Christian perspective on internet, social media, that kind of stuff, watch your time. Watch your time and how much you spend. I'm not going to give you a time. That's up to you and the Lord, what you need. Now, again, it's a good tool used very poorly, social media. Last one, verse 19. He says, verse 19. He says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. I started to think, you know, this really is a big deal on how we treat others on social media and how we treat one another. So to have a really good perspective on using social media, it is a social media, the whole concept is other people, right? So to have and to think of how you are going to respond to those others that are on the internet and on social media platforms, how do you treat others? Do you encourage others? Like it says here, do you use songs and hymns and spiritual songs and that kind of, do you share those kind of stuff? I love sharing a song that just reaches in my heart and is changing me throughout the week. I probably share at least a song a week that I have. And literally, I'm a big music fan. I love music. Music ministers to me like not many other things. And so I'll play a lot of music. Matter of fact, I think the only subscription thing that I pay for, besides internet, because you know you pay to have the internet, is I have a subscription to Spotify, which is a music app that I can use that plays unlimited music. The entire 3.5-hour drive this morning coming here, I played wonderful Christian godly music to encourage me. I'll put a song on repeat, and I'll literally listen to it 20 times in a day, and then I'll share it. This song is on repeat. Got to listen to this because this word and this God, this scripture, and I'll share that. Do you encourage it? It's a great tool to do that with. He says, how do you encourage one another? What if every day you picked another? Pick somebody who's on your platform with you, or pick somebody that you know on a text message and to pray for that person and sent them a note and said, hey, I'm praying for you today. Think about how powerfully we are connected. We're connected through text messaging, which is included in social media because it's connection. We're connected through social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all these things. Pick somebody every day and purpose to pray for them. That is a good use of reaching and encouraging one another. About 2 weeks ago, I have a friend in Binghamton, New York. Haven't connected with him in a while. Just thought about him. So I spent some time praying for him. I had no idea what was going on in his life. His name's Mike. I sent Mike a text. I said, Mike, I know it's been a long time since we've talked, but you came to my heart today, and I prayed for you today. And I did not get a response for several hours. And then I got a response from Mike. He says, he's a pastor. He's a pastor in there. He goes, you have no idea how encouraging that was to me. And he texts me again just a couple minutes later. He says, I needed prayer today. There was battles going on in my head that I was of no use to God in this ministry anymore. And I mean, time out. This is not anything to do with Chris Brown. I didn't be like, okay, let's through my list. Nothing wrong with a list, okay, that kind of stuff. Mike just came to my mind. So I spent time praying for him. I texted him and I told him. It was so encouraging to think that God allowed somebody in Ohio to think of him, to pray for him. He's like, God hasn't given up on me. I'm like, duh, we know that, you know. But he was so engrossed in that he forgot. And it was a simple text that I sent him. And I did pray for him legitimately. That's how you can use social media to encourage the brothers, to encourage people. Make it an effort to encourage each other with this. There's others out there that need you to encourage them. They need the verse that you read this morning. Share it out. I came across a verse a couple days ago that was so encouraging about our weakness, but it is his strength and our weakness. I shared it to a lot of my pastor friends. And I sent it out to all my pastor friends. They needed to hear this, and I had many of them write me back saying, I needed to be reminded of, it's not me, it's God. I am weak. We are weak. He is strong. One another. Look at verse 10. Jump back to verse 10. Really, it all boils down to this. And really, if you're going to underline anything, it comes down to this. He says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Honestly, this should be in your path on every avenue of your life, right? In anything you do, you're restoring an old pickup truck in your garage, desire and discern how is that going to be pleasing to the Lord. You're fixing this meal for your family. Lord, help me to know how this is going to be pleasing to you. Help everything that we do and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. I don't know if you know this, but you have really one job on this planet. And that is to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Exalt God, to glorify God. That's your one job. He has given you amazing tools to do it. Some of you are athletic. Some of you are mechanics. Some of you are artists. Some of you are authors. Some of you are, you know, just good at so many things. And he has said, I have made you that way. I am a geek. And you'll hear a lot about the geekness tonight, okay? I'm a techie. I used to take things apart, put it all back together just to figure out how it would work. Okay, I'm a geek, okay? He has used that for his glory on him. I didn't save me. I couldn't save me. I am dead without him. That's how we are. But he has chosen. He has chosen us. He has brought us into his flock, and he has given us this opportunity. And we have a very powerful tool that we need to discern whether it's how we use it to please the Lord with. So all this stuff, Ephesians 5 looks down to it. And then there's another verse in Romans 14. You can look it up on your own because our time is gone. But in Romans 14, basically it says we are going to give. You know what? I'm going to read it. I want to read it. Romans 14. I turned right there. Oh no, I'm just kidding. Romans 14, 11. And it says, "And for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that each of us will give an account of himself to God." You're going to give an account on how you've used this tool of social media. You're going to give an account of how you've used your smartphone. You're going to give an account of how you've used your time. Now, the beauty of this is that there's also Romans 8 that says that there is therefore and there no condemnation. So we mess up on how we use technology. Okay, we're going to give an account. But we're not condemned. We have hope, the fact that there is a resurrection and a recovery from this sin that we have, and that is through the death and burial resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're not condemned for our screw-ups, for our sin. Yeah. 14, 11, we're going to give account. It's going to stink. God's going to be like, hey, I have all this. And then you're going to, and whatever you do get, whatever he's like, you did great, whatever that whole concept idea of, you know, you're going to give an account for, even the good, the bad, the ugly kind of stuff. And we're going to, wow, I ended up with something, you know, through the fire, this straw and all through in the wood goes, and there's something that comes out. You're like, wow, we're just going to lay it down at his feet anyway, right? We're not going to keep it. We're going to give it right back to him in praise and honor to him anyway. But the good news is, no matter what we've done, no matter how we've done it or whatever we've done with technology, social media, we've used it for our own glory. Romans 8 says there's no condemnation. He says, yeah, you're going to give account. And we want to rectify that. We want to give it the glory to him because we want to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So we are going to give an account. I encourage you that you're going to give an account. Make use of your time. Make use of your the technology that's been given to you so that you'll be an imitator of God. And no filthiness will come out of your mouth. People will see the Savior in what you're doing. You'll use your time very wisely on these areas. And you will encourage one another in these areas and that we can use the technology in the world that we live in. God has clearly given us Ephesians 5 to walk us how to walk in love and using technology. So let me pray with you and then we'll be done. Lord, thanks for Romans 8, that there is no condemnation. Thank you for your grace. Thank you as well for the technology that you've given us. It is a powerful tool. And I pray you'll help us to use it for your glory, like it said in verse 10, that we'll discern how to use it to please you. That is our goal. It is our desire. It's to lift you up in all of these things. Thank you again for this challenge. And thank you again for challenging me, being reminded of all of these things, of what you've purposed for us today. In Christ's name we pray, amen.